The Abomination That Came for Christmas by Tim Mendes.
Little Jimmy Taylor sighed and looked out of his window at the crisp blanket of virgin snow covering the garden. He had been flicking through catalogues for hours now, searching for that special something to put in his letter to Santa. There were so many toys to choose from, and despite wanting about 1,000 different things, he still wasn't satisfied. All he really wanted for Christmas was a cat. He had been dropping sledgehammer hints since mid-October, but he didn't hold out much hope. The major problem was that his mother, damn her, was chronically allergic to cat hairs. She was fine with his sister's hamster, but if she got within 10 feet of a feline, her sinuses would explode like a neutron bomb. For this reason alone, Jimmy was convinced that no matter how many times he scrawled cat, kitty, or moggy in felt tip on a scrap of A4 paper, he wouldn't get one. Scrunching his Christmas list into a ball and chucking it unceremoniously into the corner of his room, Jimmy picked up the strange stone he'd been given earlier that day. It was ovoid in shape and as smooth as glass, with odd runic inscriptions in wavy lines across the surface. It gave off an odd heat and felt almost clammy to the touch. Jimmy didn't like it, but his neighbour said that it would help him see cats whenever he wished. He didn't believe it for a second, but anything was worth a try at this point. Mrs. Pickles lived 5 doors down at the end of the row. Jimmy often stopped by her garden on the way to and from school to pet her many feline friends. The other kids said she was a witch and ran screaming when she came outside. Jimmy thought his friends were idiots. She was just a perfectly normal middle-aged woman who kept a lot of cats. She had 13 of them, to be precise. Jimmy was quite fond of a long-haired black Persian with a bushy white bib called Howard. His saucer-like eyes and general appearance made him look like a wizard. Jimmy thought Gandalf would have been a more suitable sobriquet. As he tickled the scruff of Howard's neck, his fluffy tail waving around like a feather duster, Jimmy didn't hear Mrs. Pickles coming up behind him and almost shot into the air when she chirped a cheerful greeting. "Mrs. Pickles," Jimmy blurted in surprise. "I didn't hear you coming." "Sorry, Jimmy, I didn't mean to sneak up on you. I see you've found Howard." "Yeah, I was just playing with him." Something in Jimmy's tone alerted Mrs. Pickles to his underlying sadness. "Why so glum, chum?" she asked in her warm Cornish burr. "Oh, it's nothing really. I just really want a cat of my own. Won't your mummy let you have one?" Jimmy shook his head. "Nah, she sneezes the minute one comes near. It's not fair." Mrs. Pickles ruffled his messy brown mop of hair and smiled. "Not to worry. I may have something that can help. Wait here." Jimmy didn't get his hopes up as he tickled Howard's chin. His mother had tried every antihistamine known to man, and none of them had worked. This was one occasion that he wished his friends were right and that Mrs. Pickles was a witch, because if she was, then maybe she could have brewed up a potion or turned his mother into a toad. His desire had been slowly snowballing into a tundra of resentment over the preceding weeks. Soon, Mrs. Pickles returned. If he was expecting a bottle of pills or a fancy nasal spray, he was about to be disappointed. "Here you go, young man," she smiled, handing him a rock. Jimmy couldn't mask his disappointment and looked at it with a frown. Thanks? Mrs. Pickles thought this was terribly amusing. Her mouth spread into a wide grin. "Don't look so confused. What you have there is a dream stone." "Dream stone? What's that when it's at home?" Jimmy turned it over in his hands and puzzled over the strange runic language carved upon its surface. "Think of it as a kind of key. Place that under your pillow at night, and you'll be taken to the city of Ulthar in the Dreamlands. It's a place where cats are revered, worshipped. You can go there whenever you like and pet all the cats you want. Your mother would never know." Jimmy didn't believe a word of it. As a 12-year-old with a keen analytical mind, he had long ago forsaken fairy stories because those were for kids. Thank you, Mrs. Pickles. I'll try it tonight. He hoped he sounded sincere as he flashed a cherubic smile. Good. Now run along. It looks like we're in for a storm. Yes, thank you, Mrs. Pickles. He gave Howard one last stroke and started home. Before he got very far, Mrs. Pickles called him to a halt. Oh, Jimmy. Yes, Mrs. Pickles. Don't go wandering outside the city. There are things in the woods around Ulthar. You mustn't go near the Zoogs. Okay, Mrs. Pickles. I won't. Promise? I promise. With that, he ran home and warmed himself on the radiator on the landing. He had forgotten all about the stone until just before bedtime. Dumping the catalogues on a pile of old TV magazines in ignominy, Jimmy grabbed the stone, stuffed it under his pillow, and got ready for bed. It was worth a try. Jimmy couldn't believe his eyes. He was there. He was actually there. He had closed his eyes, gone to sleep, and found himself standing in the dusty centre of an ancient arid city. Eastern-style buildings with towering minarets sat under a violet-hued sky, while people wearing a mind-boggling array of clothing styles, culled from many epochs, bustled in the winding streets below. This must be Ulthar. The heat was stifling, and such a jarring contrast to the frigid December in the waking world. One glance above revealed the cause. There wasn't just one sun, but two. Taking shelter from the twin suns under a crumbling archway, Jimmy was delighted to see what lounged on every free surface. Cats. Everywhere he looked, a graceful feline sunned itself and delighted in the pampering the denizens of Ulthar bestowed upon them. A soft nudge on his calf alerted Jimmy that he had company. Looking down, he was surprised to see a cat that was the complete spitting image of Howard. But it wasn't just a Howard lookalike, it was Howard. What the? How did you get here, Gandalf? Howard looked at him with his huge yellow eyes and purred. Somehow Jimmy knew the answer. All of Mrs. Pickles' cats were from Ulthar. She must have taken them home somehow. He stopped fussing with his friend and stood up, taking in the wonder of the ancient city. Howard walked into the sun, stopped and looked back. Jimmy knew that he wanted him to follow. It was as though he had some kind of connection with the cat. How else would he know that Howard intended on giving him the grand tour? After many happy hours of wandering Ulthar's dark alleys and sun-baked streets, Howard looked at him again, and instantly Jimmy knew he was about to be woken by his alarm clock. During his excursion, Jimmy had planned. If Pickles could bring her cats home, then why not him? To test the hypothesis, he snatched an apple from a street vendor, stuffed it into the pocket of his Transformers pajamas, and waited. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. Opening his eyes, Jimmy whooped with delight to find that he had a rosy red apple in his pocket. It worked. It worked. Already a plan was forming in his mind. Operation Kitty was a go. All day, Jimmy hadn't been able to focus on anything except his plan. He had wasted hours of good video game time just watching the clock tick slowly towards nightfall. As the time approached, he sneaked out to the garage and took an old potato sack from the pantry. Next, he looted the kitchen bin for the chicken carcass left over for dinner, wrapped it in cling film. Once upstairs, he put the carcass in the sack. Then he stuffed the stone under his pillow and went to sleep with a firm grip on his trap. When he opened his eyes in Ulthar this time, night had fallen. The streets were now deserted, and only the straggliest creatures were in evidence. Jimmy hefted his sack over his shoulder and wandered the streets in search of a new friend. It struck Jimmy as odd that all the cats seemed to be indoors. Surely they should be out hunting mice and other tasty treats. After an hour of aimless wandering, he discovered the truth. They weren't indoors at all. They were out in the woods. standing on the threshold between the streets and an overgrown expanse of trees and scrub. Jimmy stood, open-mouthed, and listened to the savage hunting noises and territorial disputes between the previously passive creatures. "So this is where you're all hiding," Jimmy whispered as he edged towards the trees. But he remembered Mrs. Pickles' warning and heeded it. As he peered through the twisted boughs, a beautiful snowy white cat slipped through his legs and into a nearby bush where she took up watch. This was it. She was the one. Jimmy placed the sack on the ground and unwrapped the chicken. He covered the sack in leaves, then hid behind a large tree and waited for her to take the bait. After an agonizing amount of time, the sack became alive with movement. Jimmy yelped with delight and secured the sack, then tied the top so his prey could not escape. Whispering soothing words, he urged his potential companion not to struggle. Whatever he said must have worked, as the bag became still, and the only noise was the contented munching sounds as the chicken carcass was devoured. His victory came not a moment too soon, as his wristwatch revealed that his alarm was soon to go off. Jimmy walked back towards the city centre and found a dusty stone bench to rest upon as he waited for his dream to end. As the seconds counted down, he hugged the sack to his chest and prayed that it would work. Beep, beep, beep. Jimmy's alarm clock clattered to the floor as he swiped it off his bedside table with a flailing arm. He opened his eyes, and disappointment gripped his soul for a painful second when he realized that his arms were empty. He was on the verge of tears when, out of the corner of his eye, he spotted movement. Yes! On the floor next to his bed was a squirming sack. Throwing off the covers, Jimmy leapt out of bed and began untying the sack. "Jimmy, are you up?" his mother called from the landing. "Oh, flip!" Jimmy spat and stuffed the sack under his bed. "Yes, Mum." "Are you coming to your sister's carol concert this afternoon?" "No, I have some schoolwork to do," Jimmy lied. "But it's the holidays. Can't it wait till after Christmas?" He could hear the shock in her voice. Normally, she had to stand over him with a cattle prod to get him to do homework. "No, I want to get it done early so I can relax." Jimmy screwed his face up. This was a lame excuse, even for him. He didn't need to open the door to see the angered scowl on his mother's face. "Fine," she huffed. "At least come down for breakfast and wish your sister luck." "Okay, Mum, down in a minute." Jimmy waited until he heard her go back downstairs before poking his head under the bed and whispering, "I won't be long. I'll bring you some bacon." After throwing on some fresh clothes, Jimmy went downstairs. He was expecting to be on an Olympic standard guilt trip for his mother, the cold shoulder from his sister, and the usual indifference from his aloof father, but he didn't care. All he could think about was introducing himself to his new friend. After a hearty breakfast, Jimmy shocked his mother a second time that morning. He offered to do the washing up so they could get ready and go out. She felt his temperature to see if he was ill, then thanked him. This tactical move on his part worked twofold. It worked some way towards being forgiven for no showing the carol concert, and more importantly, he got to snaffle some leftovers. Time ticked slowly on as his family fussed over his sister and her elf costume. Jimmy tried his best to appear supportive and vaguely interested, but it wasn't easy. Eventually, though, they got in the car and drove into town. Jimmy grinned widely and retrieved his tinfoil parcel of bacon rind and sausage ends from the kitchen before racing up to his room. "Here we are. Sorry it took so long. They wouldn't stop talking." The tinfoil rustled as he opened up the parcel and knelt down next to the bed. "I've brought you some titbits." Reaching under the bed, he was surprised to find the sack open and empty. "Crap! Where have you gone?" Leaving the scraps on the floor, Jimmy shot up and started to check his wardrobe. "Where are you, puss?" The cupboard was feline free. so he checked behind the TV, behind the bedside table, behind his chest of drawers. Nothing. Hoping to God that she hadn't gone into his parents' room, he raced onto the landing and looked both ways. To the right, his parents' door was firmly closed. To the left, the bathroom and airing cupboard were closed, but his sister's door was open. Oh no.
The hamster.
Jimmy ran to the door and pushed it open slowly, then poked his head inside. His heart sank. He was just in time to see his sister's pet being snapped up in a pair of jagged-toothed jaws. Bollocks, he sighed in resignation, already thinking of an explanation. He was so shocked and discombobulated that he didn't realize at first that what he was looking at wasn't a cat. The unbefurred critter turned its head and hissed at Jimmy. It was around the size of a cat, but there the similarity ended. It sat on its hind legs like a lemur, holding the back legs of poor old Hammy Hamster in a sharp clawed hand. Its face was almost feline, except for the tentacles sprouting from around its maw like whiskers. Its bat-like ears folded onto its head as it stared a hole through Jimmy and prepared to pounce. Jimmy yelped as the snarling ball of fur rocketed through the air. Diving to the left, he avoided impact as the creature slammed into the door with a thud. Backpedaling away from the tentacled horror, Jimmy opened the airing cupboard door and grabbed the nearest thing to hand, which turned out to be an iron. Gripping it firmly in his right hand, he socked the animal when it pounced the second time. Metal met face with a clang, and the creature spun off over the banister and plummeted down to the ground floor. Jimmy tried to catch his breath and fathom what was happening. Mrs. Pickle's words came back to haunt him. You mustn't go near the Zoogs. Was the nightmare animal a Zoog? Jimmy needed to get rid of it, whatever it was, so he raced into his room for the sack. As he crossed it, he glanced out of the window. The snow was hidden under thousands of large cats. What the hell is going on? He didn't have time to think, so he just grabbed the sack, then raced back downstairs. The creature was nowhere to be seen. It obviously hadn't been as injured as he thought. Moving into the living room, he started to peer behind the sofa. Everything was still and quiet until the Christmas tree started to shake. A glass bauble sailed past Jimmy's head and smashed against the wall. A plastic red and white candy cane and a wooden reindeer followed it. The Zoog was halfway up the tree, showering the carpet with pine needles. Jimmy screamed at it to get out, but it just hissed defiantly. With the sack in one hand, he edged forwards. The Zoog prepared to pounce once more. Jimmy grabbed a nearby bottle-shaped present and swung it like a rounder's bat. It slammed into the beast's head and shattered, showering the sofa with cream sherry. The Zoog hit the floor with a thud. This was his chance. He covered it with the sack and tied it tightly. He needed to get rid of it. The first thing that came into his head was the river. Yes, it was cruel. But what option did he have? He couldn't let an abomination from another dimension loose in Cornwall. As the sack shook and its contents snarled, Jimmy opened the front door and got knocked off his feet as a river of cats flowed into the front room. After a moment of hissing and spitting, they fell on the sack and pushed it through the floor as a tear opened in the fabric of reality. Jimmy watched in amazement as one by one, the hundreds of cats disappeared through the carpet. Dumbfounded, Jimmy set about trying to mitigate the carnage. At least he now knew what he was getting for Christmas. A bloody good rollicking.